Welcome to the Special Needs Kids Are People Too podcast with Amy Bodkin, EDS. Amy is an autistic adult who also happens to be a school psychologist turned special needs consultant and public speaker. She's also a homeschooling mom to two autistic kiddos, a yoga instructor, a card-carrying Trekkie, and an all-around fun person. And last but not least, Amy is an advocate for seeing every child as a person, not a diagnosis. Because a special needs kid is just like any other child, just more so. Here's Amy Bodkin.
Hi, I'm Amy Bodkin, and welcome to another special episode of Special Needs Kids Are People Too. Today, I am joined by Michelle Markman. She's the founder of Indie Coach Inc., and she specializes in helping late-recognized, high-masking, high-achieving women cultivate lives of meaning, purpose, and most importantly, joy. Michelle, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
This is a hugely important topic, and we were just talking a moment ago about how, yes, this podcast is called Special Needs Kids or People Too, but most of the time when you have special needs kids, you have special needs parents.
Right.
The apple does not fall far from the tree. And I find that a lot of times this becomes particularly challenging for moms, because when we sometimes figure out much later in our lives that we are also autistic, then we're not just figuring that out and also trying to parent our child, but we're trying to figure out, how do I do this like life thing? So I wanted to invite you to talk a little bit about what you do at Indie Coach Inc. and why it's important to you. Why is it your passion?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's so true. I have so many clients come to me who they get a diagnosis for their child, and then they start to kind of process through the information and go, but wait, I do that. And I did that growing up. But my child's just like me. And then, you know, there's this realization, oh, wow, maybe I'm neurodivergent too. Maybe I'm autistic. Maybe I have ADHD. And then, you know, this tends to kind of just open up this whole new perspective of, well, you know, if my child can have supports and readjust the way that they're living their lives, maybe I should have supports and readjust the way that I'm living my life too. And that's really what I do. I help you to accept this new way of viewing yourself, you know, recreate your life through the lens of neurodiversity and create a more sustainable and joyful daily life that you look forward to waking up to and celebrating every day, instead of just going, oh my gosh, I have so much stuff that I need to do that I can never get done. And I don't know where to start. And my kid needs this and I need this. And sometimes those sensory profiles just kind of butt heads with each other. So that's what we do.
Sustainable. That seems kind of critical to me. It's so easy to get yourself trapped in this situation where you're overwhelmed because you're trying to live your life in a way that other people say, oh, well, this is how you should do things, or that's your perception of how you should do things. And then you realize, this isn't working. Right. I can't sustain this. I can copy it, but I can't sustain it. How did you get into doing Indie Coach Inc.? Like, how did that end up starting?
Yeah. So I have a background in psychology. I studied psychology in school. I actually didn't get my diagnosis until I was 27, when I was completing my bachelor's degree. So I grew up the neurotypical sibling of an ADHD brother. He was diagnosed with autism and ADHD around age 5. And I was always the neurotypical one until I was finishing up my degree at UCI and had to complete diagnostic testing in order to continue using their services. I was using extra time on tests and a quiet testing space. And that's when I received my autism diagnosis. And because of all the stereotypes that are out there, I got the diagnosis and I said, that's great. Whatever you think, this is garbage. There's no way this is accurate. I know what the stereotype says and I don't act like that. I don't fit that mold. Yeah. So it's wrong. So it wasn't really until about 3 years later, after I'd been married to my husband for a while, that I thought, well, you know, this whole life thing, this whole marriage thing is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I thought it would make my life easier. It made my life harder. Let's check out this whole autism thing and see if there's something to that. Mm-hmm. So over the course of that time, I had I had been utilizing coaching services myself. I had gotten a life coach. I was able to go from an entry-level position that I was stuck at for 4 years to a management position at work, double my income basically within a few months of working with a coach. And I was like, this is amazing. This is not only does it have aspects of psychology, but it really focuses on the positivity, and what can be done and how we can create systems and processes and things that really work for each one of us. And it's so tailored to the individual. So during the pandemic, I actually started a coaching business that I was tailoring to help kids and their families. But it's just progressed and changed and morphed into what really resonates with me, which is helping other moms. Because I'm a mom, I have a toddler. He's 2.5. He's not diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure he will be at some point because he's exactly like me. And I just see this need that there's so many moms out there who are, high achieving, high masking, they're holding jobs. They either want to start businesses or they're starting businesses while working full time, being moms, are neurodivergent too. And it's just juggling everything is really overwhelming. And it was for me. And so I've created this whole program that helps women to have systems and processes and to really cultivate lives that are more sustainable and joyful and less overwhelming.
Creating systems that help you to do that is so incredibly important. That's one of the things that I've noticed. I was also diagnosed with autism at 30. I had been diagnosed with ADHD as a kid, but all of us girls, most of us were missed when we were younger because the stereotype is male,
Right.
which is so frustrating. And in some ways, we're still stuck in that because
Yes.
all of our diagnostic tests, especially like the autism ones, the ADOS, and some of the autism screeners they have out now, they're all based on stereotypical male symptoms. And very often they miss the girls.
Right. And even the statistics still say autism is 1 in 4 girls to boys ratio. That right there,
Right.
I can almost guarantee is a misnomer because look at us. We were
Yes.
both diagnosed late in life. I can really wager a bet that there are just as many autistic girls as there are autistic boys, and we're just not looking for them.
Absolutely. And meanwhile, it's, I think, really causing a lot of challenges for autistic women because we grow up, one, not being identified, not having the supports we need. But then when we are grown up, there are so many other challenges. I mean, I don't know that I know a single autistic adult woman who does not also have some kind of autoimmune condition as well.
I also have autoimmune conditions. It's
Yep.
seems to go hand in hand.
And I think a lot of that is like the stress that we are under of trying to cope in a world that's not recognizing and not giving us tools like what you're trying to provide with Indie Coach Inc.
Right.
Because it's the tools we're missing. Like if you aren't diagnosed, you aren't caught, no one notices. They don't give you those supports. You don't learn those supports. It's kind of like when a kid grows up really gifted and they don't end up learning how to study. And then all of a sudden they're in college and they're like, I don't know how to do this. So, you've got all these autistic women who grow up and they're like, I don't know how to do this.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it really is a challenge. And what I love about what's happening now with the autism movement is that we are starting to speak out as a collective. I love what you're doing with your podcast, that you're getting the word out there, that there are these autistic women that are working in the office next to you, that are, running businesses, that are contributing members of society that you might not think are autistic because they don't fit the stereotype. And so it's so important for us to be able to continue to share that information with the public and inform as many people as we can to really dispel the myths that there are about autism and to remove the shame that's around it, because there's still, unfortunately, so much shame around autism. And for us as women, it can be even more complex because we as women have to mask more frequently, I would say, than some men because of the fact that we are women and we have more expectations placed on us and there's more demands in society. So it's
And I really find
complicated.
that to be a challenge, I think, for women in general. It just makes it a much bigger challenge when you're also autistic.
Yes.
We've had this desire to kind of be able to do it all. We've described it as have our cake and eat it too, which, you know, that's led to a lot of, you know, wonderful glass ceiling breaking, allowing women to do things that weren't available to us in previous decades. I mean, hello, we can vote. That's exciting. We can own property. There's a lot of great things there. But with that, I think there's also been a bit of a cost because we've tried to do everything. And that's not possible.
It's not. And you know, I was just thinking about it this weekend. The 40-hour work week was designed for a man who has a stay-at-home wife who can do all of the home tasks while he does all the work tasks. And then each of them would get a break because they're working their own, they're each working one job, right? All the home tasks are an entire job.
100%.
And all the work jobs are work tasks are an entire job. So now we as women are doing first, second, third shift. So first shift is your job. Second shift is taking care of your household. Third shift is taking care of your kids. So we're literally doing three different jobs at all times, and it's just not sustainable. And I'm really hoping that we'll be able to, you know, shift this soon. Shift away from the 40-hour work week, you know, have more people who can work from home and have more flexibility there, because there's just too many things to do in a 24-hour period and stay safe.
Working from home was a game changer in our house. I had always worked from home, but my husband had not. And so in 2020, when everybody came home, he came home and they were like, it'll be for 3 weeks or 3 months. And it kept getting extended and he's still home.
Amazing.
But it was a game changer because all of a sudden I could take one kid to an appointment without having to take both of them. Or I could, you know, arrange to do an appointment for me and leave them home with him. Or, you know, he could do laundry and dishes and I could focus on homeschooling and all of the appointment management for different doctors and therapies and whatever else we're doing. It was a game changer because all of a sudden we could both work and we could both manage the house. But when he was like gone 12 hours every day during the week, that wasn't a possibility because he couldn't do stuff at home because he wasn't hardly at home.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think you're right. I think that would be, I think, one of the biggest ways that we could help families is having more options for working from home.
Absolutely. And paid family leave for maternity and paternity. Mm-hmm. Studies have shown it improves productivity.
So many times that we need that. My husband was actually supposed to go back to work, but they gifted him extra time at home because of my health issues, which
Amazing.
Is fantastic. They were like, hey, family comes first. I'm like, we like you.
Good they're company.
Not, yeah, they're reasonable as opposed to... Sorry. Yeah, she's sick, but you're just going to have to leave her home with the kids and come back into work for 12 hours. Yeah, no, it's not practical. So what are some of the other challenges that you've seen with working with ND women or neurodiverse women for anybody who's not as up on the abbreviations?
Some of the things that I see are executive functioning challenges, and executive functioning is even more challenging for neurodivergent mothers, because they're not only managing their own schedule, they're managing a work schedule, they're managing each child's schedule. If they have one child or multiple children, sometimes they have a family schedule also. So we're talking about five potential schedules that they are juggling. So executive functioning challenges, which are
one person executive functioning for multiple people. That's one brain doing all the executive functioning.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, setting up systems and processes and apps that help with that. And, you know, emotion regulation is a big one. I think something we talked about the last time we had met was it's so common for neurodivergent women to initially be misdiagnosed with some other condition like bipolar or BPD, which is borderline personality disorder.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
yes.
You're right.
But one of the things that it doesn't really get talked about as much is when you are an autistic person, you are going to have larger emotional fluctuations,
true,
which can mimic something like bipolar disorder. Now, of course, you can have comorbidities, you can have both, but it's just really common that I'll see women who come in to see me who have first been just completely misdiagnosed with something like BPD or bipolar. And it turns out they're actually autistic and ADHD and just haven't had the supports in place. And once we set up those supports, their mood can stabilize and they can really feel more in control.
Well, and also with the mood changes, I think that one of the things we have not talked a lot about, because all of the emphasis has been on males, is that hormone change is a whole other thing. Like, I'm in a group of autistic women going through menopause right now, like, because that's not like, there's normal menopause, there's normal hormonal change. And then with autism, it's a whole different kettle of fish entirely.
Yes.
It's just completely off the chain.
Absolutely. And it, you know, it's every hormonal change for women. So, I mean, when we're talking about pregnancy, the hormones are so much more intense for an autistic or neurodivergent mom. They're going to have more strong emotional reactions during pregnancy because those hormones, and then even weaning your child, nobody talks about this. I'm currently weaning and I'm late breastfeeding my child. He's 2.5 and we're in the weaning process. And that's another hormonal change that happens right there. So then, you know, going along, you have your period. So that's a hormonal change that's going to come 3 times a month at least, because we've got your luteal phase, your period, there's the ovulation phase. There's all these different phases where your hormones are really changing. And then as you progress to perimenopause, there's those effects on mood and energy and everything. And then menopause. And then when menopause is over, then you have a whole set of new hormones.
We definitely experience some of these more intense feelings and hormonal changes, probably due to the fact that, well, it turns out our brain chemistry is different. So that makes a difference, because your hormones are connected to your immune system and your neurotransmitters. So that's going to be huge. Like we said, I don't know a single adult female autistic that doesn't have an autoimmune condition. So that adds a whole nother layer, because autoimmune impacts your endocrine system and your hormones and neurotransmitters and everything. But then also, I think it also ties back into what you were saying earlier about executive functioning. Because if you are already struggling to executive function and then things keep shifting, then it's like a moving target that you're constantly trying to zero in on. Wait, I had a system, it was working, and then things changed.
Yes. Yes. And that's part of what we do also, is we help you to understand that your body functions on a different timeline than society set up for. So society set up for 24-hour cycles, which is how men's hormones work. So we all know men get just as emotional as we do, but it's in a 24-hour period, because their hormones cycle 24-hour periods. Our hormones cycle somewhere between 28 and 34-ish days, depending if you have a sort of regular cycle. Can be vastly different from that if you have a, quote, irregular cycle. But really setting up your life in a way so that you can operate at your best depending on where you're at in your cycle. So setting up for social engagements when you're in your ovulatory phase, setting up for like deep focused work projects when you are coming up to your period or during your period, can really help you to have that more sustainable experience of life by really just scheduling things based on your hormones.
So basically being mindful of what is going on with my body, how am I feeling, instead of just trying to power through and go, it doesn't matter, we're just going to do the thing.
Yes, I think 2024 is all about no longer just powering through to get things done, even when we don't have the energy. You know, it's about stepping into the jet stream and going with the flow and really honoring your body's needs and your personal needs and using your energy as your energy allows. So setting up your life so that you can do low energy tasks on low energy day and then high energy tasks on your high energy days as much as possible.
Sometimes raising a child with additional needs can be rather lonely. We can feel like we're the only one who is experiencing life the way that we are, and feel lost that we don't know what to do next. My membership group provides families with the opportunity to build relationships with other families just like them, so that they don't feel alone, so that their kids are able to make friends with other kids who get them. This is something that I help families navigate by walking through this process with them every week. It's like having a concierge school psychologist in your back pocket. But it's not just about the ongoing support, the free yearly testing, the weekly online meetings for kids and for parents. It's about leaving a legacy for your kids and your grandchildren. Check it out at amybodkin.com/product/special-needs-membership.
Well, and like you were talking about with the 24-hour cycle for men, yeah, men are better men when they're allowed to be the people that they were born to be, and women are better women when we're allowed to be the people we were born to be. And I thought that was kind of interesting because a lot of times we talk about cycles as being moon cycles for women, mm-hmm. and that it tends to follow the cycle of the moon for the most part. Whereas with men, you're saying a 24-hour cycle. Well, we have 24-hour solar cycles.
Yes.
Which I've always found is kind of interesting that our moon missions were always called the Apollo missions, but Apollo was the sun god. So why were they called the Artemis projects? I guess maybe they wanted a guy to be like the name of it. I'm not sure, but I thought that was kind of crazy. I'm like, wait a minute. It's Artemis who's the moon goddess. Why are we calling it the Apollo missions?
Exactly.
But yeah, I think a lot of that is really like the underlying message of the neurodiversity movement. It's not you need to accommodate for everyone to be autistic, because we don't want everyone to be autistic because they're not all autistic. Mm-hmm. But we do want everyone to have the room to be themselves,
yeah,
to be the people that they were born to be. One of the things I've talked with families about is that I like to see each person as a gift to the world, that each person is a gift, but I don't like all my presents to be the same. So I don't want all the people of the world to be the same. They each have something unique to contribute. And I think the big frustration is that a lot of times we feel like we aren't allowed to contribute our gift to the world because it's not seen as being valuable. And I feel like this is like really gets at the crux of what the neurodiversity movement's all about. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And especially for women, because so frequently our gifts and our contributions aren't valued the same way that men's contributions are.
You can see that in differences in pay scales.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, of course, people say, well, you know, yes, but you took out time to go have a baby. Well, yes, because that's what our bodies do.
Those of us that are still having babies, because it's not a whole heck of a lot of us anymore.
There's that. And I mean, it's something that we need to value because, I mean, that's how we get our next generation. What are we choosing to value and what are we choosing to invest in? Do we want to value and invest in families, in healthy families, in allowing individuals to contribute the gifts that they have, even if they're not the same as yours?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so important. Michelle, thank you so much for joining me today. I'd like to give you a few minutes to share a little bit more about where people can find you, maybe even a little bit more about, you know, what you do or some of the most meaningful work that you've had, anything that you want to share with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it. You can find me at ndcoachinc.com. It's like ND Coach Incorporated. And I'm also on TikTok and LinkedIn, and that's at ND Coach Inc. And I right now have a free guide. It's called Illuminate Mama's Workbook, and it is in my Stan store. So that's stan.store/ND Coach. And it's an amazing transformational guide that'll help moms really look at what's most important to them, set up some systems, go through some journal questions, and really start to create the transformation that they're looking for. So I highly recommend that they go and download that now. And just know, if you are a neurodivergent mom or you think you might be, you're not alone. There are support systems out there.
You're definitely not alone.
And you're doing an amazing job. If everyone's, you know, like you got everyone through the day yesterday, you're doing amazing.
They're alive. It was a successful day.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, well, Michelle, that sounds fabulous. So if you guys want to connect with Michelle more and want to see what she is all about and what she's putting out into the world, go check out the link to her free guide And we will have the links for all of this in the show notes. So go check it out. And Michelle, thank you so much for being with us. It has been a real pleasure. And I'm really glad that you have chosen to focus on supporting moms and women in general, because we need it.
We do. Thank you so much, Amy.
We hope you had fun listening to today's episode and gained some new insights into the wonderful variety of people in our world. You can find out more about Amy's advocacy work at amybodkin.com. And remember, special needs kids are people too.